Good evening. The only purpose of Thanksgiving is to feast and to give thanks to God for all of his good gifts and his blessings. And therefore, it's appropriate for us to gather as a church body to hear the word of God and to be very intentional about giving thanks to our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Provider. And in fact, going way back in history, that is the same exact reason how the very first Thanksgiving came to be. I want to read to you guys the original Thanksgiving proclamation, dating from November 29th, 1623. This was made by Governor Bradford in Massachusetts, and it was made 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth. The language is a little archaic, but I think you'll get the point. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forests to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord 1623 and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, and there to listen to ye pastor, to render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. William Bradford, ye governor of ye colony. And so, though we're meeting at a different time of day, and I don't plan on this service lasting for 3 hours, like their worship service lasted, we gather for exactly the same purpose, to hear the word of God, and to render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. And so we have much to be thankful for. Just like these original pilgrims, we certainly thank God for his provisions materially. We thank him for his protection. We thank him for this country where we have the freedom to worship God. And in a few minutes, all of you will have opportunity to give public testimony of thanks to God for the blessings and gifts that he has given you. But first, I want us to briefly reflect on a passage of Scripture. This passage is short in length, but it is very deep in meaning. The passage is from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, the first 2 verses. And it states, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for the privilege to gather and sing praises to your name. We thank you for your word that you have not left us alone to die in our sin, but you have condescended to us. You have revealed yourself to us in your word, and more than that, you have redeemed us. So, Father, we ask that as time you would send your spirit, that you would open up the eyes of our hearts, that we would see your beauty. We would see your wonderful gifts that you have given us, and that you would receive our praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the passage that we read, perhaps you've read it in the past. It's a very easy passage to just brush over really quickly. After all, it's just the greeting to a letter. Let's get to the actual letter that Paul wrote, right? However, there is an amazing amount of biblical truth stuffed into these few words that the Apostle Paul writes in this simple greeting. And so this evening, we're going to briefly look at three parts of this greeting. This letter to the Philippians is from Paul, and Timothy is included in the introduction. And Timothy is to be included because he was known to those in the Philippian church. If you are familiar with the book of Acts, young Timothy was part of the group of four that originally went into Philippi and helped plant this church. And so Paul then addresses this letter to the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. And before I talk about what he means by calling them saints, I want us to look at what comes after the word saints. In Christ Jesus. That's one of Paul's favorite ways of describing Christians. He uses this expression or similar variations of it over 100 times in his 13 letters. And we're helped to understand this phrase if we also remember that Paul taught that those who are in Christ were once in Adam. The first man, Adam, was an individual, but he was also a representative for the entire human race. This means that Adam's actions had lasting effect for the rest of humanity. What he did counted not only for him, but also for everybody else, including you, including me. And in Romans 5, Paul describes Jesus as the second Adam. Jesus came to do what Adam failed to do, which was to obey God perfectly. And Jesus came to undo all that Adam's sin brought about through the fall. Jesus came to destroy sin and death and to reconcile us to God. When we trust in Jesus and repent of our sins, we are in Christ. Jesus becomes our new representative, and we begin to share in the blessing of all that he did for us. And when Paul uses the phrase, in Christ, he means that by faith in Jesus Christ, you are irreversibly united to him. Our union with Christ is the central truth to the entire doctrine of salvation. It is the fountainhead or the source from which flows every single spiritual blessing that we enjoy. Faith, repentance, forgiveness, justification, adoption into God's family. Sanctification, the process of being made more and more like Christ. Perseverance, the fact that we will never fall away. And glorification at the last day. Westminster Larger Catechism, question number 66 asks, what is that union which the elect have with Christ? And the answer it provides, the union which the elect have with Christ is the work of God's grace, whereby they are spiritually and mystically, yet really and inseparably, joined to Christ as their head and husband, which is done in their effectual calling. In Christ. In other words, by faith in Jesus, you are irreversibly united to him. You don't ever become ununited to Jesus. You don't ever lose this spiritual connection. And therefore, we can have hope. We can have assurance. Now, we certainly all go through deep, dark valleys and lows, and we struggle with seasons of sin, sometimes even great sin. But if there is a whisper of faith in your heart, if there is an inkling of love for Jesus Christ, you have all of the spiritual blessings that we receive from Christ. What a reason to give thanks. So yes, let's certainly thank God for all the material provisions that he provides for us. Let us thank him for the protections that we receive. Let's thank him for the freedom we have in this country to worship him. But do not neglect to also thank him for every spiritual blessing which flows from your union with Christ Jesus. Your union with Jesus also gives you the status of a saint. Now, becoming a saint doesn't require some lengthy process of being canonized, and then you receive some kind of special spiritual status. Rather, being a saint is the New Testament way of simply describing every single believer. By faith in Jesus Christ, you are united to him. His death paid the penalty of all your sin. His perfect righteousness is credited to you. Saint is your status. It is your identity. And the word saint actually means set apart. It points to what Jesus has done for you. You are set apart to him. You are no longer set apart to the realm where sin reigns. And by God's grace and by the Holy Spirit working in us, sin no longer rules us, and we are becoming what we already are in Christ Jesus. And so what good news that is. Tonight, let us praise the Lord, saints. Let us thank him for our new status, for our identity. And our status as saints also points to how God calls us to live. It's no easy task to live outwardly as a saint. In fact, by our own efforts, it is impossible. But there is good news. The saint in Jesus Christ is never left to walk the path of obedience alone. In Paul's greeting, he points to two different gifts that we receive from our triune God. He specifically mentions God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is implied as the one who actually imparts these gifts to us. But what are these gifts? They are the gift of grace and peace. Now, grace is getting the good that you do not deserve. Though we are sinners and deserve God's wrath and his punishment, we get forgiveness. We get a restored relationship with God the Father. We get the status of saint. We get these because Jesus willingly died on the cross as our substitute. And the other gift that Paul mentions is peace. This echoes the familiar Hebrew word shalom. And shalom is the peace that we all inwardly long for. Shalom is the spiritual, the physical, the psychological, the social well-being. It is how things were created to be. Physical shalom is being healthy, with no sickness, no diseases. Psychological shalom is your mind, your will, and your emotions all working together properly. Social shalom is peace with your fellow man. It's when the wealthy are willing to disadvantage themselves for the betterment of the community. Spiritual shalom is having a right relationship with God. And remember, Jesus, through his Spirit, is making all things new. And it will be made perfect when he returns. And until then, know that you are irreversibly united to him. You are a saint, and that through grace and peace given to you from our triune God, you are enabled to live like one. So again, let's praise the Lord, saints, this Thanksgiving. Let's thank God for every spiritual blessing which flows from our union with Christ. Let us thank him for our status and identity as a saint who is set apart to God. And let us thank him for all the glimpses of true shalom that we get to experience, and for the fullness of shalom that will come the day that Christ returns. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you again for your word, and I pray that you would strengthen the faith of our hearts as we hear it. Work in us, we ask. In Christ's name, amen.